Welcome to The Shared Desk, episode 83.
Yeah, episode 83. Woo-hoo! And for the past 48 hours, I can't stop smiling. I mean,
it's just a little lift in the soul.
Actually, even longer than that, because I finally have a copy of Podcasting for Dummies.
It's been a great week,
It's been a great time. But hey, everybody, we're going to get you all caught up on that on The Shared Desk, and I am your host, T. Morris.
So much has happened since I last saw you.
So much.
I lost my hammer, yesterday, so that's still pretty fresh.
Well, actually, the reason I lost my hammer was because my luggage got misplaced on the way to Phoenix, Arizona. And sitting across from me,
I'm Pip Ballantyne.
What were you the god of again?
That's what happens when you get a dark queen.
Yes, when you have a dark queen.
Dark. You've got to say the New Zealand accent. Dark.
Sorry, what was the question again, bro?
We just got back from Thor Ragnarok.
Taika Waititi is life.
Taika is life.
Taika. Stay merry there, bro.
If you haven't seen Hunt for the Wilder People and what we do in the show,
Taika, go and see it. If you are listening to The Shared Desk.
Well, that would be cool, bro.
The first round at Garage Project is on us. It's on The Shared Desk. Love your work. We've loved your work since What We Do in the Shadows. Just amazing stuff, and you brought it with Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that later, though. We're going to rave all about it. Spoiler alert. Okay, so.
So what have we been up to before this?
Holy Hannah in a handbasket! 2 weeks ago, we did a story about Dragon and Dragon Anywhere, and we talked about PJ. Bringing me into the world of Dragon.
Yes.
And she was so darling when we saw her
at the writing retreat.
She was just like, I heard that podcast.
Hi, Piper.
Love you, Peach.
Yeah, so we're gonna burn up Peach's ears a little more this episode.
So let's start with my trip out to Phoenix, Arizona before you.
Mm-hmm.
I went out the Friday before. And I got together with Chuck Tomasi over at chuckchat.com, and we did the Podcast It Yourself workshop, the PIY workshop 2017. We were hoping for a good turnout, and I think we got it. We actually broke even. We broke even on the event. Which is what we wanted to do.
And it's sometimes hard on your first event. You know?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, well, the other thing, too, is we had no idea what we were doing. but we wound up having not only a great event, it was just great people involved. Let me just read off to you the people that were.
Who did you have?
So here was the guest list. Here was the guest list. Mark Blackburn of the America at War podcast. There was Adam Christensen of the MacCast. Chris Hoff of Tales of the Con. I've already followed these guys on Instagram. I'm following them on Facebook and Twitter. Great guys. Really, really good guys. Joe Hogan. Joe Hogan of Geektitude and Nick Kelly has a massive jelly because I met Joe before he did. Then there's CJ Jones of Love Long and Prosper, and then there was Keith Lane of Two Gay Geeks, and he did a terrific presentation about what not to do with your podcast. It was very cool. Jack Mangan was there, the Iron Man of podcast. It's really funny. He said to me, he said while he was speaking, his daughter Sophie got into the car. He was picking her up from school, and she had this big grin on her face, and Jack's like, "What's going on?" She goes, "I learned a lot at school today." And he was like, "Really? Like what?" And she was like, "Well, we had to do an assignment about podcasts, and we did a search, and I found out that you're the Iron Man of podcasting."
How did she find that out?
She did a search on the internet. And she
see, once you put things on the internet, they're there forever.
Michael R. Menengay was there. It was great to hook up with Michael R. Menengay again. Justin Neely knocked it out of the park. He did a terrific talk about hosting.
Uh-huh.
He took one of the what I think is the toughest thing about podcasting, and where to put the things. Vincent Orlick, who gave a standing room only talk on social media. I met a new guy named Raz Yalov, and he was very, very cool. And of course, the incomparable Kevin TD0013 O'Connor was there to talk about passion. And boy, howdy, was he passionate. It was and of course, Chuck Tomasi was there, and I was there.
Yeah.
A lot of people came to help out. Matt and Peach both came out, and they helped out with logistics. They just helped keep us all organized during the day.
Yeah, so that's great at that.
Yeah, he really is.
So is Peach, but yeah.
Yeah, and we just had a terrific event. It flew by.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Absolutely flew
by. So now they're asking you when's the next one, right?
Well, see, that was the thing. When we were asked about whether or not we were going to do it again, when we were talking about it, I remember saying, well, let's not really address it. And Chuck was like, yeah, let's just see how we are when we're at the end of it. And during the event, people were coming up and they were saying, yeah, well, when you do this next year...
As always, you know.
Yep.
That's good, though. People.
Yeah, yeah. People were saying, you are going to be doing this next year, right? And we just kept saying over and over again.
You want to run this ship? Yes.
Well, you can't.
You can't.
So, I mean, and not only are we thinking about Podcast It Yourself 2018, we're talking about Podcast It Yourself 2018, the East Coast edition. But John Taylor Williams did say he wanted to work with us. He wanted to work with
and maybe do an East Coast version.
And we're going to do an East Coast version in the spring, and then we'll do a West Coast one in the fall.
Yeah.
So it's just something we're kicking around. It was really positive and just an overall fantastic experience. Chuck and I signed quite a few books. I now finally have a copy of Podcasting for Dummies in front of me.
Yeah, you need to get on them about where those copies
are.
Yeah,
I really do. It turned out even better than I had hoped. Sonic Boom has her first professional photograph.
And then,
yeah, first professional photograph, and it's a photograph we've gotten a lot of mileage out of. You can actually see that photograph and actually subscribe to the podcast at podcastingfordummies.com. We just had an episode go live on the day of this recording where Chuck and I were in studio together.
And what episode are you up to?
We are up to a whopping episode 5.
Okay,
episode five.
It's still more than some people do.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's quite true. We're really proud of. While I was out there, I was like, you know, yeah, let's see if we can record a couple of episodes. We wound up recording 5 episodes together, and just had a blast riffing on the mics. Just it was great. And by the way, for anybody listening, if you guys are flying out to Phoenix, Arizona, and you're looking for a place to stay, Chuck and Donna Tomasi have a fantastic Airbnb.
And we'll put a link in the show notes,
put a link in the show notes. I stayed at their Airbnb, and it was dynamite.
It's a separate house, right?
It's a separate house, fully working kitchen, full refrigerator. They got a little entertainment center. Chuck's got it set up with Apple TV.
It seems like that's a thing out in Phoenix to have your pool house and your pool.
Right? Yeah, oh, it is, and I mean your own shower, everything. It was all very private. And I was able to get work done. Chuck's got a separate network for Wi-Fi, and you get all this for a whopping $90 a month. $90 a day. You get that for $90 a day. Flying out to Phoenix, that's cheap as chips. So
yeah.
I just want to throw a quick shout out for that. Anyway, it was just a fantastic experience. So I stayed. And after we were done with PIY, I recorded. I'll put a link in the show notes, but I recorded an episode with the guys on Technorama. Mm-hmm. It was a little crazy, little cray cray.
Yeah, I watched that. That was a little crazy, gotta say.
And then
drank some beer.
I drank.
I was watching your Untapped. You were definitely drinking some beer.
I don't know what it was about Phoenix. Everybody was just handing me beers, and I did, as Dat Munch guy on Twitch said to me, he was like, free beer, man. I'm like, yeah, best kind of beer. I mean, even when I had dinner with TD0013, he said, you're okay with drinking Guinness? I said, sure. I sit down, he's having a Coke, she's having a soda, and I'm the only one drinking beer. And I'm like, wait a minute, how'd that happen?
Well, look, let's just say you're Reputation precedes.
I guess it's all part of branding. So I know Gail Carriger would be very proud of me.
Yeah.
And then I spent a week working remotely, which was terrific. I went 10 days without playing Destiny. So I was feeling just a little tense.
Was the whole world gone crazy?
Just a little tense. And then finally on Thursday, I finally got back together with you because I was getting a little stir crazy not being around you. I don't mind saying it on this podcast. I'm a little stir crazy.
I mean, you were missing Sebastian, though. Yes.
And I was missing the big, boy.
Yeah. So I flew in and it was a very nice flight. I went through Houston, which I've never been to. I thought I was going into Denver, so it was interesting when I ended up in Houston. And then we went over to the Drake writing retreat.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, this has been set up by Piper J. Drake and Matthew Drake to compliment Smokey writers.
I would say compliment Smokey
because
writers.
Smokey is in the very end of winter, and this is sort of at the very...
That's the very end of summer.
End of summer.
Well, end of summer, beginning of fall.
The weather was lovely. It was in the 70s. It was dry. There was a brief scattering of rain. Not really much to write home about.
A sprinkle
of rain.
What is this rain you speak of? I remember somebody said
now
that.
Now, we were also, speaking of Airbnb, we were in an Airbnb.
That was a massive Airbnb.
But yeah, that was weird because when I arrived before you did, Piper showed me through and we went into the house and it was sort of a one-story hacienda style, I would think. Yeah. Beautiful.
Rancher style.
Yeah. Lots of beautiful cacti, but also water features, which was an interesting combination. Mm-hmm. But Piper walked me through and we went on the other side and I was expecting a pool because it's Arizona and she said
everybody's got a pool.
But then I was like, oh, and whose house is that? And that was a whole other house, Chuck's house.
Yeah, like Chuck's house. It had a nice open master bedroom, and then it had bunk beds at the very end. And in between the bunk beds and the master bedroom was a game room.
Yes, and a TV and a wet bar and all of that sort of stuff. So it was a very – and it was also apparently built by a local artist.
Yeah,
and
so
there were
pictures.
A lot of really neat features. It wasn't just a house.
No.
There was a lot of cool stuff that was around there. It had
a lot of personality.
Yeah.
A lot of personality.
I liked for a writer's, it had a lot of nooks.
Yeah.
We actually ended up writing outside. There were a lot of different little tables outside. Mm-hmm. There was some
couches.
Yeah. There were chairs by the pool, outside the pool house. Inside, there were a lot of couches and tables.
A lot of wraparound.
Yeah. So there were 11 of us in there, and we didn't have to see. I mean, I sat at the kitchen, the dining room table for a while, and there was nobody else there because everybody else was sort of scattered around.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful place and I think quite conducive for writers.
Yeah. So let's talk turkey, though. While I was working remotely on my off time, I was also putting the final touches with you remotely on Operation Endgame.
Yeah, it was a big week.
It was a big week, and we got it done. So Operation Endgame is out.
We can wipe off our whiteboard.
Yeah, we need to wipe off the big board.
Yeah.
And start putting on new stuff. And that was my only hang up. My only hang up was that.
You didn't get as many words as you wanted to.
No,
but I think that was possibly unrealistic because you were getting back into a book that you hadn't touched for a long, long time.
4 years.
So there's when you start a new book, there's a certain amount of thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then when you're getting back into it, it's pretty much the same amount of thinking.
I did hit a stride by the end of, by Sunday. I actually got an extra 1,000 words in on the plane. But you had already, man, talk about coming out of the box hard.
This was very weird for me because...
Now, before we get into those, just so everybody knows, I'm currently working. I've returned to Wolf in the Fold. I'm giving dope. I'm putting dope on hiatus for now.
Yeah.
It's where I want to
be. But if you're doing 3,000 words a day, it might not be for that long.
Yeah, with We're Dragging Anywhere. But I was going to say, though, that with... I'm putting dope on hold right now so I can focus on Wolf in the Fold. I want to try to finish that up. And right now, I just hit a groove. I cannot wait to sit down with Michael Pedersen over at RavenCon and share with him this one chapter that I worked on. He'll smile. He'll smile.
So you're getting, anyway, you feel like you, it got you back into the groove.
It did. It did. Because the first day, I barely squeaked out like 2,500 words. The second day, I was just flying through. But I was also feeling like, I think I was feeling a little loopy from just the entire week. I was clocking in remotely. I was clocking in more hours than I normally would
with your day job.
With my day job, so that had a lot to do with it. But let's go back. You had already worked on 5,000 words on a project before you even left the plane.
Yeah, this is the weird thing. So we had, before I left, we had sent off Operation Endgame to our wonderful friend, writer, and editor, Katie Brisky.
Yep.
So that was done. I trying to do finish two projects at the same time was a little unrealistic.
That's daunting.
But
that's
we did finish them within 2 days of each other.
Yeah.
So I was working on the end of Fierce Dead. I was writing on the last few scenes. And the weird thing is I never like writing on a plane. I find it – you're cramped. Let's face it, anybody, even a short ass like me, you're cramped in a plane. And then you've got your little machine that's kind of wedged up in there and you're kind of like – I don't like it. But for this, but for some reason, I arrived really, really early at Dulles on the Thursday morning. So I was at the gate for about 2 hours because I wanted to avoid traffic.
Right.
So I was like, oh, well, I'll just crank it. And I looked down. I was like, oh, I got 1,000 words. Oh, that's pretty good. And then I got on the plane. I went to one stopover I had in Houston. But I got on the plane, and I think because there was nobody sitting next to me, there was nobody in the middle seat. I had a little bit more room to kind
Lucky
of spread
you.
Out a little
Lucky
bit.
You.
And I was just typing away. And then I got another 3,000 words. And then by the end of the day, after I did my jump from Houston to Phoenix, I had written 6,000 words.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah!
And this was all on The Broken Dead?
Yeah, this was all on The Broken Dead, and that was finishing it off.
Yeah.
And then,
great.
So that was Thursday, and then I finished it. But, you know, it was pretty rough. And then on the Friday, I finished up editing it. I ran it through some editing software. I tightened it up. I added a few little bits and pieces. And then I sent it off to the agent to see.
Welcome to level 7.
Yeah, yeah. So then I was done with that. And the funny thing was the next day I wanted to crack into, because what do you do when you finish two projects?
Yeah, no kidding. What do you do?
You start another one. But I had planned that I was going to start on it, but I kind of thought, I don't know, maybe I thought I wasn't going to get to it. So Alex White was at the event with us, and he said, "Oh, so you're starting on a new project?" I said, "Yeah." He's like, "So have you got, you know, like plot and stuff sorted out?" And I held up a piece of paper, and it said, "They go on a field trip." And I said, "There it is.
There it
There's
is.
The plot."
Bada bing, bada boom.
So I did a little bit. I didn't do a lot of writing on that
and this
Saturday.
This was for Verity. This is for
the mystery of Emerald Flame.
The mystery of the Emerald Flame.
The second Verity one. But the interesting thing was, I feel like when you're around creatives, you just it energizes you
it
somehow.
It does.
So
it
I started off with that one line.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I know what. And I started plotting. I was able to clear off my rocket book, my Evernote rocket book.
Right.
Again, I think we should put the link in the show notes because many people at the event, at the retreat had never heard of it, including Piper. And Piper usually knows everything.
Yeah, this was one time we trumped Piper.
So thanks, Stacia Kelly, who got me onto it. But it's basically a notebook that you can write in with, I can't remember, it's a Flexion pen, I think they're called, and they come in different colors, and you can wipe it off. I think I might have talked about it on the shared desk before. So
no, I'm trying to remember if you did or not.
I don't know if I have, but it's...
I think we meant to talk about it and Dragon Anywhere as the two new things.
We talked about Dragon Anywhere.
And we just got so into Dragon Anywhere that we didn't bother getting to
Well, I love it because I love writing. If I get stuck, one of the things I do is go off the computer and just write in a notebook.
Physically write something
out. And physically write notebooks. And then I always lose the notebook. I don't know what happens to them.
That's funny.
They disappear.
That's too funny.
So this rocket book is sort of slightly hardcover. And each page is basically like a whiteboard.
Right.
So you can write things in it, and then you can get like a damp paper towel and just wipe it off. So that was what I did when I finished Fierce Dead. But the clever thing is the app. It has an app. You take a picture of what you've done if you want to save it, because you know I made maps and stuff of the town that I want to keep for future books.
Sure.
So you take a picture of it, and it will send that picture to email or Dropbox or Evernote.
Now, when you say that it takes, you take a picture of the page, and you can take it, you can send it to Evernote, or you can send it to Dropbox. It doesn't look at the image of the words and go, "Oh, okay." Translates it to editable words.
No, it will not do that. It will have maybe in the future it will, but at
that
the
would
moment,
be slick. If it
that
did.
Would be slick.
That'd be really slick.
Because my writing is terrible.
It is not that bad. It is not that bad.
It will make it into a JPEG or a PDF,
but a high resolution JPEG.
It will
or PDF
when you look at
it.
You can zoom in on it and read it.
Yeah, okay, so that's the important bit.
So part of finishing a project, a bit like our wall, is to wipe out my rocket book and start again for Emerald Flame. So I had all these, but the funniest bit was there's some little key to a book sometimes, a character or a place or a theme.
I know where you're going with this.
And there's a bit in the beginning of this story of Verities where they come across a mad scientist, as you do in the Ministry of Peculiar Appearances world.
As you do often.
And he's been trying to put the souls of children into automatons to make them work better or mad scientist shit.
Mad scientist.
events occur. And the
as they do,
and one of the souls that he first tried out, which was this cranky old academic, accidentally gets put into this adorable little 4-foot robot who looks the cutest little thing.
I would say picture BB-8 if he had legs.
He's got legs and he's got big eyes and he's got a little soft ball head, you know, like a rugby ball head.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, this is going to be comedy gold throughout it, because you know these books are supposed to be fun. But the best bit, again, involving Alex White is
I had to come up with a nickname, right?
Because he's got an actual name, but the kids give him a nickname because kids do that sort of thing. And I said to Alex, I'm just trying to come up with a really neat but really irritating name that he will absolutely hate if the kids call him that. And he goes, oh, Monkey Wrench.
Yep. Boom.
Boom!
Alex White, ladies and gentlemen.
Alex White, that's how he works. That's
Alex
how he rolls,
White,
man.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And I was like, oh, that is so awesome because, you know, the old saying, well, that throws a monkey wrench into that plan or whatever. Right. So, I was really happy with the whole. I mean, I didn't get out bucket loads of words, but I finished one project, edited it, and then started something new.
It's about productivity.
Yeah.
But I want to talk a little bit more about the creative juju that you feel when you're around people, when you're around creatives.
Even if you're just sitting in a room ignoring each other.
And whether it's podcasters or whether it's writers, I would say that anytime that's why people wanted more. I mean, in the same thing with the Drake writing retreat. Matt's already said, well, we're going to tack on an extra day.
Yeah, that's because I was totally messing with Piper. Ah! I said, as we sort of got, you know, people organize these things and they're worried that everybody has had a good time. Make sure that everyone's. So I said, well, you know, I've got one really big complaint about this whole thing. And she's like, what? And I said, it needs to be longer.
And sure enough, Matt was like, well, that's why we're going to start it a day earlier.
Yeah, I think if you flew in on a Wednesday, then you would have Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And then
Sunday's
kind of
loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
Out of the...
And I have a complaint about the Drake writing retreat.
Oh.
Which was Alex, Katie Roberts, and Peach, and one, I think it was Osa. They all went to the Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
And to the local Barnes & Noble, and they did a drive-by signing. Yeah. I was like, hey,
we could have gone
with you. We would have loved that. Why we didn't do that? But I will say,
I think it was a spur of the moment thing. But and then, honestly, we were supposed to. I mean, I should say that I forgot that the price we paid for this included food, because it was like Smokey.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the one night was we were going to go out on the Saturday night for dinner.
Now I'm I was totally good with that. Yeah. I was totally cool with. Look, we're just going to forage through the
yeah. There was a lot of food in
there. Was a lot of leftover food, and also it was a nice idea to go out, but a lot of us wanted to just hunker down and get some more words out. And we got more words out, and then we wound up just it wasn't as isolated as Smokey is.
No.
But at the same time, it had that feel of we're just going to hunker down and we're just going to write. And while we didn't get as many words as we would with Smokey, at the same time I was really impressed with this first year of an event. And Actually, one of the things that I want to throw out, because I know that Peach and Matt do listen to the show, one of the other things I would throw out was that Wednesday we have an we actually before we fly out there, we actually get in touch with the Barnes & Noble. And we say, how would you like it if local authors came in and did a signing with you guys, like an official book signing on Wednesday night?
I don't know about that.
I like the idea, so screw you.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea of a ninja signing because you can go and you don't have to spend too much time.
Well, you're in, you're out.
If you go in for like a whole... We have had Barnes & Noble signings before, which were a complete waste of time.
But going back to the creative aspect of it, after we did Podcasting for Dummies, like I said, Chuck and I, when we did the PIY workshop, Chuck and I were itching to get into the studio. We were just itching to get into the studio.
Yeah.
And it was on Halloween where we just sat down and we just started recording, and we'd had a couple of beers, so words were flowing, so was the beer. There was a complete gaffe that I had too. I meant to say spread my wings and stretch my legs, and instead it just came out as one phrase, which was spread my legs, and it just went downhill from there. We were slap happy, but boy howdy, everything we created was electric, and I wanted to get. And then the day after I got home, I immediately got together with the guys, and we recorded an interview with one of the organizers of Guardian Con that was over at Happy Hour from the Tower. And at the end, I said to the guys, I said, "That's the best interview we've done." And Brandon, in his kind of sardonic teenage way, looked at me and said, "You always say that." But that's the truth. I mean, I'd just come off of this really amazing week of creativity, and I think it does energize you. I think it does make you more productive when you're surrounded by writers.
It's nice to have people that just understand the whole process.
Yeah, really.
You know, and you can say, "Oh, this thing happens," and people go, "Yeah,
that happens to me.
And also, it's nice, not just from a craft writing point of view, but also a publishing sort of point of view. You can sit around
a business point of view.
You can sit around and swap war stories and have people go, "Oh yeah, that's that happened to me," and blah 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 blah.
And I don't know how we got into the conversation, but we somehow got talking about our church, and Katie was just totally taken with Vinny. She was totally taken by Vinny. So
that's right. We've got to ask Vinny to find Katie a church.
Yes, we
got to
find Katie a church in the Washington State area. But yeah, I mean, that is one of the things that, you know, if someone were to say to me, "Well, T, where do you want to invest your money? Do you want to invest your money in going to more events, more conventions where you meet the fans and sell the books? Or do you want to go to these types of things like the Drake Writing Retreat and like Smoky Mountain?" And really, Smoky Writers and the Drake Writing Retreat, I would in a heartbeat, because to me, that's time well spent. That's dedicated time where you write,
yeah,
and you produce the words.
Yeah, I think, and it's got a lot of value for that, and it's got a lot of value for networking and talking just to other writers. Which, let's face it, we don't often get a chance to just hang out with other writers.
Yeah, that's true.
Writers off the clock. So, what do you want to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know.
No idea.
No, tonight we knew exactly.
No,
what we
I know
were doing.
What I want to do. I want to stay home and rub this little bastard's
face.
Do you want to
rub that bastard's face?
Because it's a beautiful
face.
He's
actually better behaved than the last.
Yes,
than
he's not stomping
podcast.
Around. He's just lying next to the tree.
He was clingy though when we got back.
Oh my
gosh!
I was only gone for 3 nights, but I think he's missed you.
Yeah.
So what did we do today when we left Sebastian
tonight,
alone?
Yeah, for a whopping 2.5 hours or so. Okay, so tonight we said, okay, well, we're kind of falling behind on things. We still haven't seen Stranger Things.
No.
Season 2, because we want Serena to get caught up with Stranger Things season 1.
We're just gonna put it on.
We're just gonna have to really.
She'll
like,
come
like
home from school tomorrow.
It.
I'm gonna have it on and ready to go.
Have it on. That's the way you gotta go for it.
God, you're weird.
But but along with that, this week we said this is the week we're gonna go see Thor Ragnarok, and oh man,
lot of color.
Wow,
with
wow.
A U. That's color spelled with a U.
Color spelled with a U. It was absolutely man, it was just
so we're good, right?
Oh boy, are we good?
It was so much fun.
Yeah. So, all right. I think it's fair.
When we think about Batman versus Superman, that was not fun.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Well, first
and they had that weird blue filter over everything.
No, that was Batman versus Superman. Thor Ragnarok was just color.
Oh, yes.
It was Walt Disney threw up in Technicolor on this movie.
It assaulted your eyeballs.
Yeah, it really did. In a good way. In a good way. So, I think we should talk about not just Thor Ragnarok and then get into some details on that, but actually about the whole Thor process. The whole Thor, like we've had three Thor movies right now. We've had Thor
Branagh, which is Shakespeare,
which we'll get to. We had Thor the Dark World, and then we had Thor Ragnarok. Okay, so I mean, and I'm the first one to say, of all the Avenger movies or the movies leading up to the Avengers, Thor was the one I was least excited about.
Yeah, you're like,
because
I've
never liked Thor. I've always thought Thor to be a big surfer dude, just
with a Viking helmet.
With a Viking helmet, and he's just arrogant as crap, and I just don't like the guy. I just do not like Thor. Then they said, "Oh, we're getting Kenneth Branagh as the director," and I'm like, "Oh, for Pete's sake." Because I'm a raging Branagh fan. I mean, the next big film we're going to go see is on the urging of our daughter, Murder on the Orient Express, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm more than okay with that.
Well, she doesn't know the plot to that. Pretty much everybody else
so,
is
under. I'm just keeping it tight.
Everybody who's over like 30 knows.
kisses
from
best. So the original Thor really does play like if Marvel wrote Shakespeare. And Branagh was perfect.
There's a lot of daddy Hamlet issues.
Hamlet-esque issues. He had a phenomenal cast. Branagh can take credit. He was the first man to put Idris Elba on the screen, on the big screen with Heimdall. And I remember the butthurt.
Oh yeah,
the fanboys Heimdall can't be black. Guess what? Heimdall's black because it's Idris fucking Elba. So there you go. You know.
Shh.
Anyway, sorry. I'm good. Anyway.
Sorry, I'm thinking.
Thor, I loved it. I really enjoyed Thor.
Is it in your top five?
It's in my top five because of this, not just because of the way it looks, because of the way that it tied in a lot. Again, like Thor Ragnarok, a lot of things happened in Thor.
It took itself very seriously. But it also had little moments like
little
when
moments
he gets
of humor.
Yeah, little moments of humor to lighten it up.
Yep. You also had like, you know, you had more, you got deeper in with S.H.I.E.L.D. and with Coulson.
Yeah.
You get
Was it the second movie release?
It was the third, if I remember correctly. If I remember correctly. But in it cuz one thing I do remember in it was I went to go see it with some friends, and it might have been Mark Bailey, but I remember him tapping my shoulder going, it's Hawkeye. And I'm like, who's Hawkeye? Because I didn't know it. But Jeremy Renner first shows up in Thor as Hawkeye. And he had a great line when he said,
It's the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I remember it was early on.
It was 2011.
But Thor, and also the moment of redemption is still one of my favorite. The moment where Thor gets the hammer back, when he gets his hammer back, and again, that was another classic Branagh moment, was when he goes up to Hemsworth does the hair throw, and it's all in slow motion, and then when he goes to grab the hammer, Mjolnir, and it doesn't move, and I'm like, oh my God.
But he still had his shirt on, so I'm cutting down points on that.
So
on
there's that. Thor. Then you get to Thor the Dark World, and I was saying this earlier, I felt like Thor the Dark World was very much removed from the rest of the
You realize that
Marvel
was
universe.
Now, that was like 4 years ago? That
Thor the Dark World?
Yeah, it came out November 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. But and you see, that's the thing. I just felt like it just didn't. There was something missing. Mm-hmm. There was something missing from Thor: The Dark World. I mean, Christopher Eccleston did a fine job as a villain, but I really had the best moments of Thor: The Dark World were
when Loki and Thor were. Yeah, I could have watched that show. When that happened, you were like, ooh, this is funny and interesting.
Hiddleston and Hemsworth, man. Take that show on the road,
I honestly
man.
Feel
Take
like
show on the road.
Marvel actually listened and they were like, oh, people like that? But they didn't care for the rest of the dark wrapping around the outside
it,
so much.
Like I said, it just felt very detached.
Yeah,
it felt
I feel
very
like
detached.
That was probably why, though, they went for Taika in this latest installment because he has that.
Now, let's talk about, I'm going to
You want to talk about Taika?
I want to talk a little
Taika
bit about Taika
Waititi.
Taika Waititi. Tell us about him. First off, why are you so invested in Taika
Waititi? Well, he's from New Zealand. He is. He went to the theatre school in Wellington, and he went with Jermaine Clement, and my gosh, I've forgotten his name. Jared. he went with Jermaine Clement to Victoria's theatrical school.
Well, the thing is that the two of them basically got together with some of their buddies and they did this little student film called
What We Do in the Shadows,
which eventually became What We Do in the Shadows, yes. Which we have turned a lot of people on.
Now Taika did a bunch of stuff with Jermaine. He directed a couple of episodes, I think, in Flight of the Conchords. So they're still pretty tight. Yeah.
You mean for HBO as well?
Yeah, for HBO.
Oh, so nice. He did actually do some of that. Okay.
He did a lot of not seen in the States, but a lot of very well received short films before he started to get What We Do in the Shadows. But What We Do in the Shadows really started to get him attention.
That was his breakout.
And then, of course, he did the funniest, heartwarmingest,
and most New Zealand-y. It's a movie called Hunt for the Wilder People.
And if you haven't seen it, you really need to. It stars. Well,
we've talked about it on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go and see it.
We took Lauren Scribe Harris with us, and
she loved it.
She absolutely adored it. And there were jokes.
And we've also taken that to Smokey. We took both those movies.
And people loved it.
People loved them.
And here's the thing to know about. Okay, so after you watch Hunt for the Wilder People, mm-hmm. come when you get home, look up YouTube Toyota. New Zealand commercials.
Yes.
And you'll see this whole series and then you'll realize, hey, wait a minute. They did that in Hunt for the Wilder People.
Now, the thing about Taika is that he is as Kiwi AF and Maori. AF. His mother is Maori and his father, I think, was Jewish.
Yeah.
So he's got an interesting mix.
Yeah.
And he's certainly a very interesting person. He's known for those... dry humor.
Yes, very dry
but
humor.
Also being able to get under your skin and tug at the heartstrings as well.
Which was a real, you got that in Thor, Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, so I got to say.
A lot happened in this movie.
I do. But when it came out that he was doing it, I was like, what?
Yeah, we were both having a tough time with that because.
He's not known for big action movies.
Right,
he's known
and that's
for
the
quirky.
Thing.
The, little projects.
You know, Hunt for the Wilder People was epic in its own New Zealand way, but it was still very much a movie about the characters, and it was more of a art house, very very heartwarming kind of movie. It did have a car chase, but it was an epic car chase from New Zealand standards. And then you've got What We Do in the Shadows, which really was just again, like Flight of the Conchords, it was quirky. There was nothing epic about it. So when you go from those two films to Thor Ragnarok from Marvel Studios, holy Hannah.
And I mean, let's face it, a Maori boy from New Zealand is an odd choice to helm a movie about Vikings.
Right, right.
An odd choice, but I think a brilliant one.
Did he knock it out of the park?
Oh, hell yes.
Hell yeah!
To say he knocked it out of the park is...
Yeah, I'm just looking at the numbers here. Let's start just with the bare numbers before we get into it.
Right.
So the production budget was $180 million.
$180.
It was released on November 3rd, and we're talking November 7th now.
Right, as of this recording.
And worldwide, it has made $450 million. So it's just doing fine.
It's doing just fine. And if I remember correctly, didn't it have one of the biggest openings of any Marvel movie in quite some time?
Apparently it's huge in China.
Well, there you go.
It had a huge domestic opening.
So he really didn't so much as knock it out of the park so much as he kicked it into touch.
Kicked it into touch.
I thought you would appreciate that, good. Baby.
So just by the numbers, they're going to be very, very happy at Marvel Studios right now.
That's
that.
How Dad did it. That's how America does it.
And how New Zealand does it.
And it's worked out pretty well so far.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that Thor the Dark World did not, I mean, it made money.
It made money. And
but
it made
not
money
the
back.
Money that
not
Marvel...
This, not this kind of bank.
No, not the...
Not this kind of bank.
Not the...
Now, I got the thing that I would say, when I say a lot happened in this movie... A lot happened in this movie. We had, and we're trying not to get too spoilerific, but there were not only tie-ins to the upcoming Infinity War.
I think perhaps we should give them a spoiler. You know, if you haven't seen it and you don't want to be spoiled, stop listening right here.
Actually, use your Overcast app. Yeah. And just jump to the end.
Yeah, jump
just
to the
jump
end.
To the end, and you'll be fine.
But if you don't mind spoilers, or if you have seen it, and you
yeah.
should have,
yeah.
Then
so there was so one of my probably my favorite joke. There were a lot of nods.
There were so
not
many
just,
jokes.
Not just to the original Thor, both in the soundtrack and in the dialogue, but there were nods to all the other. This movie felt way more connected to the story arc of the Marvel movies. For example, my favorite joke was when so in this one scene, Thor gets into one of the shield planes. I'm trying to remember what they were called. I'm totally blanking on what it's called. But he gets into the plane and he's using his hand
to activate it.
And he just goes, "Thor, access denied." And he goes, "Strongest Avenger, access denied." And he tries "Most Handsome Avenger, access denied." And he goes, "Damn you." And he goes, "Damn you, Tony Stark." "Point Break, access granted. Welcome, Thor." And that was a throwaway line in the original Avengers.
Yeah.
But the fact that he called that is his access code, Point Break. That's
well, he does look like a bit like a surfer dude.
As I said before, he looks like a surfer dude.
But now Jared Axelrod asked me, what are the most Kiwi things, and there
love
are
you, Jared.
Some
love you,
there
Jared.
Are some Kiwi things in here that okay, if you've watched Hunt for the Wilder People, you will notice some people that are picked off there. The lady that is chasing after Ricky Baker with No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
No Child
Left
Behind.
The one from Child Services.
Yeah. Is the Grandmaster's offsider, and it seems very hasty to want to like liquidate people. I'm just saying she wants to do that. There's also a Korg, who is this rock monster that has a very suspiciously New Zealand accent because yep. it is actually voiced by Taika, mm-hmm. And he's just a bro, man.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's based on K Road is like the red light district, I guess, of Auckland, and he is based on a Maori bouncer. At a club in K Road, apparently.
Fantastic.
And apparently Taika just, they did a lot of riffing, him and Chris Hemsworth. Because you find out Chris Hemsworth is hilarious.
He was hilarious in the Ghostbusters reboot.
He was. And
that was one of the few
people
movies
haven't really tapped into that because they're like, oh, he's a beefcake.
Yeah.
So,
oh, no. He was, in fact, you know, there was a lot of things that people had issues with in the Ghostbusters movie. But you know what? Hemsworth is not one of them.
Yeah,
Hemsworth across the board. They were like, "Yeah, he's a funny dude." In fact, I'll never forget in the Ghostbusters movie when he picks up the cup of coffee and he takes a sip and he spits it back in. He goes, "Oh my god, I hate coffee!" And he just, I'm like, "What?"
That's right. So, getting back on the New Zealandness, of
right?
This, there's a scene where there's a little theatrical production going on, and there's some people. Matt Damon is playing Loki.
Oh my god, how meta can you get? And Luke Hemsworth is playing Thor.
His brother.
So let's think about that for a second. We have a stage play happening in the movie Thor Ragnarok where Thor, Chris Hemsworth, arrives to see his brother, Luke Hemsworth.
Playing Thor. Hey, when you think about it, that's also Shakespearean because we're talking
very
Hamlet.
Yep.
Yeah. And of course,
Our bro,
Sam Neill, is playing Odin in that. Yeah. So that, it was yeah. very, very cool.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah, the K-Row bouncer. Oh, there's a couple of little things about here was one that I really liked. When Valkyrie gets off her ship, she kind of crashes it, and then all the fireworks go up.
Yeah.
The spaceship is called the Commodore, which is a classic New Zealand car. It's like a Holden Commodore.
Ah, really?
And the colours actually reflect the indigenous flag of New Zealand and Australia, red and black.
Oh, very nice.
So
I didn't realise that. That's,
so some
a, that's
are,
a real subtle touch.
That is,
yeah.
a, that is a real real subtle touch.
There was also one at the very end where Korg basically has, he gets distracted.
Yeah.
And because Thor asks him a question and he gets distracted and he goes, "Sorry, what did you ask there, bro?"
Bro? Yeah, there's a couple of bros in there. Interesting. Somebody has pointed out that Valkyrie, what happens to her, how she gets defeated by an oppressive force and then leaves and falls into a bit of alcoholism and all of that. Some people say that is a subtle allegory of the Maori experience.
Wow.
Which could be true. And of course, that could be Taika very true. Has taken some heat for casting a non-white character as Valkyrie, which
get
of course to which he says,
"Get over it,
whatever."
Get yeah, over it.
All the spaceships are named after Holden's, which is a brand of car.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So fantastic. There's plenty
and,
of music.
I'm just going to come out and say real quick, the actress who played Valkyrie,
she was
phenomenal, and the flashback sequence.
Oh my god, it's like a moving album cover.
So that's the thing that I wanted to also address about what made Thor Ragnarok at least in the top two of our Marvel viewings. Because honestly, because not only does a lot happen in this movie, in one moment you are just rolling with laughter. And then the next moment, you are really just trying to catch your breath mm-hmm. because it is so emotional. Anthony Hopkins, he was terrific in the original Thor. Thor, the Dark World, he was kind of walking through it. It felt very phoned in.
Yeah.
This go round, so at one point, and again, spoiler alert, at one point, Anthony Hopkins had to play Odin as if he were Loki. And,
yes.
And he was very spry. Did you notice how spry he
was?
Yes,
he was like, whee!
Yeah, he was really spry. Then you turn around and you find him just watching the scenery in Norway.
Yeah.
And that scene between the three of them, I mean, you know, you could just see it in both Hemsworth and Hiddleston's eyes. It's like, you know what? This feels like the first day when all three of us were on the set, and they're just having a scene, just the three of them, and it was so intimate, and it was so real, and I was like, this is heart-wrenching.
Oh, well, of course, Anthony Hopkins is doing.
That was my point. One minute, Anthony Hopkins is spry,
yes,
and he's almost flitting around the set, and then the next moment, when he said, "Freya is calling me, do you not hear her?"
Yes.
I was like, oh my God, I mean... Yeah, that was the tone of Thor, yes. Ragnarok.
Well, that is definitely Taika's
thing. That's Taika's strength.
He can turn emotions on a dime.
On a dime.
But it was also just hella fun.
Oh my God, pardon the pun.
What were you the god of again?
You know, I mean, Cate Blanchett.
It was almost
making a run for the list of mature women that I would not kick out of bed for eating crackers. I'm just saying.
Yes. Well, when she was the dark queen.
When she was a dark queen, she looked good.
Well, you can see when Scourge turned up, he was like, "This is a woman I can get behind."
Yeah,
I could
get behind her too,
and
Carl Urban.
It's funny to think
I could get behind her too, Carl Urban.
They were both in Lord of the Rings. I don't think they shared any scenes in Lord of the Rings, but they were both in the Lords of the Rings.
They had Lord of the Rings alumni. They had, quick joke. I didn't get to tell it to Brandon Kelly tonight, but a quick joke. In the Black Panther trailer,
which we saw,
you had Martin Freeman showing up, and you had Anthony Serkis showing up. So for anybody worried that Black Panther is going to be too black, don't worry. There are two Tolkien white guys in that movie. There we go. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Y'all jokers must be crazy.
I am. Anyway, what else can we tell people about Thor Ragnarok? Just go see it for one thing.
Yeah, just go see it.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, and it's got Idris Elba in it and dreadlocks.
Man, so. Driss brought it.
Yeah, I was with it, but when I was like. If Idris dies,
you were gonna
riot. I'm gonna like throw my popcorn down and just walk the hell out. I'm sorry, Taika.
We were gonna do a revolution, but I didn't pimp enough pamphlets there.
Oh my God,
it's just ridiculously fun.
That is what I'm talking about in finding that one character that like with my robot thing for Emerald Flame. Korg was obviously a character that apparently they were just improvising, and he was only supposed to be in there for a little bit. But he brought something light and fun and just, he was just a great character to add in there.
At this rate, he's going to get his own movie. So we have only one more event coming up. And that's going to be in December. And I think it may just be me. It may be me and, well, it's me and Nick Kelly. We are, yeah, Nuck. His name's Nuck. He's a vampire for 2 months. And, yeah, that's going to be on December 2nd and the 3rd. It's Star Wars weekend. And I believe it's at Woodbridge High School, it's in Woodbridge, and it's just going to be a fun small event, but it's all weekend, and it's going to be me and Nick. On the first day, I believe I'm doing the big score, and the next day I'm doing
off key.
So that's that. But then that pretty much wraps it up for December. Also in December, we are going to have the release of Operation Endgame.
Yes.
It's coming out.
Boxing Day.
We're going to do it on Boxing Day.
December 26th. That's for those December 26th. Beyond the yes. Commonwealth.
Now, that's if you were not a Kickstarter.
Yes, Kickstarters
investor.
Will be getting it earlier than that.
Yeah, because you gave to the Kickstarter. Yes. So, and then that should pretty much wrap up. Kickstarter duties.
Once we've got some print books, there's a few print people who backed for print books.
It's amazing.
I'm
getting reminders on Facebook that 2 years ago we were mounting this thing.
Yeah,
and
we're going to be finishing it off within. Yeah. Yeah.
So what else? I mean, what else do we did we want to sign off with? I mean, just first off, not to get too political, but way to go, Virginia. Way to go. We needed that. Boy, how did we need that?
Yeah, a little lift.
A little moment of optimism, and we'll leave it at that. We're just going to leave it at that.
Don't forget my Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that Patreon. How is the Patreon doing? What have you got planned for your Patreon?
Well, this month I'm going to be doing a fantasy story that's exciting. That's all I've got.
A fantasy story that's exciting.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. After watching Thor Ragnarok, I feel excited.
Yeah, you're going to be on a roll.
You know. Yeah. Also, I'm going to be doing. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that.
Are you doing it?
Guess what? If you become a Patreon, you get to hear it first. And I'm going to put in, like, I guess you would call it director's notes.
Yeah. That's kind of what Phil Rossi's doing at his Patreon. At Phil's Patreon, he does does extra segments. He does, like, a director's cut version of the story. Mm-hmm. And then he does director's notes and things like that. The only thing I know that I'm doing special podcasting-wise is I'm going to be tweaking the short, well, actually it's the novella that I did for Peach's anthology that we gave away at RT 2 years ago.
Jeez.
Time flies. It was last year we were at RT. Sorry, it just feels like years.
Yeah, but it was at the beginning of the year.
Right. So at RT last year, Peach and an accomplished and acclaimed author, Linnea Sinclair, put together an anthology of short stories and novellas, all dealing with romance, but science fiction as well. So I went on ahead and did a Destiny set romance.
What are you going to do with it?
Well, I'm going to tweak it.
Because you can't sell it.
No, I can't sell it. I can't sell it, but I'm really proud of it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tweak it, and then I'm going to serialize it and put it on the Happy Hour from the Tower podcast.
That's a neat idea.
And I'm going to do it as a weekly thing.
Are you going to read it, or are you just going to release it as print?
No, I'm gonna. I don't know if I'm gonna release this print, but I will definitely. Go on ahead and serialize it as a podcast, and do it weekly all through the month of December as a way to say Merry Christmas to all the to all the listeners out there and to the Destiny fans out there.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna talk about the disastrous train wreck for Christmas.
Sorry. Oh, that. Yeah.
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that. Yeah. So in closing, it has been a really crazy, crazy,
but a good week.
Crazy week, but a great week. Just being around creative people, it's been a blast. And for those of you who have been listening to our podcast, and for all the attention you've been giving us, we appreciate it. We hope that our creativity and our creative energy also rubs off on you as well. And
and if you're doing nano, keep going.
Yeah, if you're doing nano, hang in there. But until next time, just remember, folks, the Shared Desk is protected by a non-commercial, no-derivative, share-alike United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that at creativecommons.org. So until next time, enjoy the ride.
We'll catch you later.
Or Asgard!